Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
It's good to ask ourselves, is there anything that I am believing or that I have been conformed to by the culture around me? Am I hanging on to anything? Because I've surrendered my life to Christ, I'm following Him, but have I been conformed by this culture, and do I believe anything still that is different than the authority of Scripture?
Social media, TV, movies, music, you name it. Everything digital media in today's world can be a threat to the truth we've learned from God's Word if we're not careful. With more on keeping Scripture at the center of our lives and not being conformed by this world, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with more on this vital passage from Romans 12, 1 and 2.
The word logos, we get our word logo from it. And it means word, but it means more than word. It means like a logo. So it's who we are. It is our logo service. It's who we are before Him. And that's why one renders it as spiritual, because it's the entire person. You are giving your body on the altar, but it's not just your body. It's your body, your soul, and your spirit. It's everything that you are that is placed upon that altar, because wherever your body goes, there your soul and spirit goes as well. And so when you lay that upon the altar, this is your reasonable service, or it is your spiritual worship as you surrender yourself to God. Now, how does it happen? So far, we've talked about Paul encouraging us and laying ourselves as a living sacrifice before Him. And I want to read this whole first verse together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then we go on to verse 2. And I want to read that in its entirety before we break it down. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's so much in the second half of this passage. He begins with a negative command. Literally, it could be rendered, stop being conformed. That's the way it's constructed in the Greek. When it says, and do not be conformed, stop being conformed. Because you and I so easily get conformed to the world that we live in. J.B. Phillips famously, he was a theologian in the original languages, and he famously rephrased this to say this, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. That's what he saw this verse as saying. The world puts pressure on us for us to become like the world. That's why when we get involved in different social medias, we can become like those social medias, because there's pressure that's conforming us. The idea is that Christians should resist being pressed into the values, behaviors, and customs of the godless culture around us. D.L. Moody said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to Him. And then D.L. Moody said, I want to be that man. He died in 1899, so he never saw any of the 1900s. But he wanted to be that man, and God used him up until that point as strong as He had ever used anybody. Eventually, Billy Graham would speak to more people live than anyone else, and I think that Billy Graham has been used by God in a greater way than anyone alive. But up to that point, D.L. Moody had been used by God in that way. And he made that commitment. I can see this at times in our Q&As. When someone will ask a question that is connected to the culture of our world, they'll make a statement about how the world sees things. And the world has a way of twisting truth so that something that is negative looks positive. And so they'll say, well, this is true, and they'll make a worldly statement. And then they'll say, and so why can't we do that? Or shouldn't we do that? And this is something that reoccurs with the Q&As. And I think about it, but I don't want to put them on the spot. I think about how we are being forced into a certain frame of mind. Why do you think about the things that you think about? We're all influenced by the culture around us. And we could say, not me. I'm my own person. I think my own way. I don't get influenced by it around me. But what if you were born in Virginia in 1820? Virginia was the heart of slavery in 1820. Abolition had taken place in Europe, in places in Europe. The entire world was a slave culture at one point, but the slave culture was changing. And in the 1820s, the abolitionists were beginning to make their way into New York and to set up there. And it would be part of what was going on in the background that would eventually do away with slavery in the United States. It would become part of that changed culture. But if you were born in Virginia in the heart of slavery, and you grew up with families that had slaves and slaves all around you, then you probably thought slavery was okay. You probably could defend it. Now, there were people who were born in Virginia who rejected slavery, especially coming around the time of the Revolutionary War in the United States, not the Revolutionary War, the Civil War. I'll get my war straight sooner or later. The Civil War in the United States. There were certainly people who saw that it was wrong, and it grew from that point. But the vast majority of people thought that it was okay. You go to Virginia today and you ask people, do you think slavery is okay? And they don't think it's okay. What's the difference between 1820 and today? People are still the same. It's the culture. And so we have to ask ourselves, it's good to ask ourselves, is there anything that I am believing or that I have been conformed to by the culture around me? Am I hanging on to anything? Because I've surrendered my life to Christ, I'm following Him, but have I been conformed by this culture? And do I believe anything still that is different than the authority of Scripture? Because Scripture has got to be our authority. It can't be our feelings. We say things today like, I follow my gut. Don't do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble. I follow my feelings. I just feel like it. I feel like that's right. Our feelings lead us astray. Our feelings lie to us. I like what Frank Turek says. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a magician. I'm glad I didn't follow my feelings. I wanted to be a magician, a weatherman, or a pastor. I don't know what all three of those things say about me. But I changed as I grew. We had certain feelings. You can't follow your feelings because your feelings change. You say, well, I'm going to follow my own truth. Well, there really is no such thing as your own truth. There is the truth. There is the truth of the Scriptures. But we've been conformed in our culture to think like that. We've been conformed in our culture to think of the power of positive thinking. I can make my own reality. When, to some degree, I could pull myself up with my bootstraps and I could put effort into something and I could accomplish something. But sooner or later, I'm going to run into a wall. I'm going to run into the sovereignty of God. Sooner or later, I have to know what the truth of the Word of God is. And that's why we don't let ourselves stop being conformed by the world. It's not, don't be conformed by the world. It's stop being conformed by the world. That you and I are being conformed. And so we've got to evaluate, how am I conformed? What is it that I'm thinking that isn't of God, but is instead of this world? Listen to what James 4:4-6 says. And this is a heavy verse. James says, adulterers and adulteresses, that's an analogy in this text. He's not literally talking to people who have committed adultery. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Don't you know that friendship with this world is a battle? You're fighting, you're making yourself an enemy of God. Whoever therefore wants to be friends with this world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, The Spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We have to somehow figure out how friendship with this world is enmity with God, and how we are committing spiritual adultery when we look for the world to be our fulfillment instead of looking to God to be our fulfillment. That's what makes this passage in Romans chapter 12 one of the most in all of Scripture, that we examine where we've been conformed, because all of us have, including myself. We think a certain way because of where we grew up in. We think a certain way because of the influence on social media now. I think of the kids that are going to grow up, and some of you kids are here now, but I think of the kids who are going to grow up with nothing but social media. That's it. They never had what we had when we were younger. I hope the mom and dad says at some point, go outside and play, because that's what my mom did. Go outside and don't come back in until dinner time. That's the kind of thing that I got. There are no tablets out there to go on and play some game. You got a stick and pretended you were shooting bad guys. That's what you did. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the midst of a world that puts pressure on you and wants to make you into what it wants you to be. There's no one who does that better than media, by the way. Media conforms people into the image that they want. They bring stories the way they want them to be, saying what they want them to say, to try to conform you. But instead, we're to be the transformed. The Greek is related to the word and sounds like metamorphosis. It's metamorpho, but it's metamorphosis. It's the process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. And this word is a transformation. When we are conformed by this world, we are like a caterpillar. When we are transformed by God, we are like a butterfly. No wonder Jesus said, you are the most free. You of all people are the freest who are out there. The term means to change into another form, like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, completely transformed. Now, the word renewing here is essential. Look at it again. There's so much more when you dive into these passages. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. Why are you conformed to the culture around you? Why do you become like your culture? Because of your mind. Where does the enemy attack? He attacks your mind. What was the attack of Satan on Eve? Has God said you can't eat of any of the trees in this garden? He attacked the goodness of God, but he did it through her mind, her reason. To Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then take these rocks and turn them into bread. You've been fasting for 40 days, you're hungry. So if you are the Son of God, so he attacked his mind. No wonder the Bible tells us that the weapons of spiritual warfare are mighty in God for the casting down of arguments, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's spiritual warfare. When we learn that I'm just not going to let my mind go wherever my mind wants to go. I'm going to take my thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So the word for renewing here, it's essential. The word renewing means renovation, a complete change for the better. That's the idea of a renovation. If I do a renovation on my house, it's not going to be for the better. Because I've never just been in that construction arena. I could kind of do it. We built part of the church on the west side of town. And right above the stage, I actually hung the drywall there. All I did was get on a scaffolding, hold it with my head in place, and drill in the drywall. It takes a lot of faith to stand under that drywall and preach all these years later. Wondering how good did I really get the stud that was up in the ceiling when I was putting in those screws, which sometimes you kind of knew that you got it, but sometimes you would kind of wonder, you know, something you knew when you got it for sure. Sometimes we kind of go in at a side, we wonder, did I get the side of that or did I really get the whole thing? You might be careful when you walk on stage on that campus as well. Titus 3:5 is the only other place that this word renewed is used. So renewing your mind, transforming your mind, and making it better, making it stronger. That's the idea of renewing. So here's what Paul said to Titus in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So God has renovated you by the Holy Spirit. We are renovated when we get our mind in control by the renewing of our mind, that we put it where we want to put it. Listen, if you are having behavioral issues, it's the way to overcome behavioral issues is to correct what your mind dwells upon. If your mind's dwelling on something, then that's going to end up being your behavior. If you could put your mind in another place and start thinking about things that are good and holy and pure and pleasant. And doesn't the Bible say something like that? Think on whatever's good and holy and pure. And it's got a whole list of the things that it says. And our mind becomes renewed. And we find that we are free from those strongholds, free from those very things that used to hold us, because we are taking our thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. John MacArthur puts it well. The mind, he says, is the battleground where every moral and spiritual battle is fought and won or lost. And that is so true. Every spiritual battle, every moral battle that we face is in the mind first. Consider the wisdom of Frank Outlaw. Now, I searched to see who Frank Outlaw was. Here's what I found out, because it doesn't sound like a real name to me, right? Frank Outlaw sounds like a guy who was an outlaw who they called Frank Outlaw. But you know what I found? There are several guys named Frank Outlaw. I had trouble finding the right Frank Outlaw that this saying is attributed to. So we don't know whether Frank Outlaw said it, but it's attributed to him. So you can find where on the internet it will say Frank Outlaw said. Here's what Frank Outlaw said or didn't say. Watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions, and they become habits. They become characters. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. And that's what the Bible's saying when it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God could be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. God's word gives us everything. If we can memorize God's word and get his word into our minds, we will be renewed. We will be renovated. We'll become who God wants us to be. And so then he finally makes in this statement, and here's where we'll end, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now think about what he's saying here. He's saying you're going to prove that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. When you stop being conformed by the world, but you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does the transformation happen? It doesn't happen just by accident. It happens by renewing your mind. You are transformed by renewing your mind, the kind of things that you're thinking about. And then you prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, that's not three different wills of God for you. God doesn't have a good, perfect, and acceptable one. I've heard that taught before. That's nonsense. God's will for you, you might think that this isn't true, but it's so true. God's will for you is good. God's will for you is perfect. And God's will for you is acceptable. What God wants for you, morally, spiritually, in your relationships, is good. And when you are transformed by renewing your mind, you prove what the will of God is for you, because you find that good, acceptable, and perfect will that God has for you in your life. That's the way we gain it. And if that's the way we gain it, then that's amazing. And it all starts by not being conformed by this world. By saying, I'm not going to let this world conform what I think. I need to know what God's word says. And that's why we need to make a priority in reading God's word, studying God's word, and listening to his word. I told you here recently that you can put the YouVersion app on your phone You can click it to start playing and have it play over the Bluetooth of your car, and you can listen to a book as you're driving down the road. And I'll tell you, in doing that, because I've been doing that lately, I'll tell you how fast a book goes by. You can listen to the entire book of Colossians. I can listen to the entire book before I get home. And I'm thinking, why don't I read Colossians more? It at times seems like such a chore, but it's not a chore. It's God's word that makes the radical difference inside of each one of us. So, a couple of things in closing. Remember how quickly social media shapes us. Again, I quoted it in the beginning. Studies show that when people are connected to social media, they take on certain characteristics of that particular social media. Remember how quickly it shapes us. Within weeks of joining the platform, we're using the language and following its trends. Imagine if we expose ourselves to the Word of God with that same intensity. Imagine if we're always picking up our Bible to finish reading whatever we were reading, instead of to look at how many likes I've got or the next post that comes up. In just weeks, you'll be renewed. In just a matter of weeks, you'll be renovated by the renewing of your mind. Number two, worship is not just what we sing. It's what we surrender. Let your life be an offering, which we sing in one of our songs, by the way. When the world presses in, let the word of God press deeper and be more of an effect than the word. So I'm just going back to the beginning of my statement there. Worship is not just what you sing. It's much more in life. And may God be blessed because we are those that want to follow his word and take this incredible passage that tells us how we can be transformed, how we can be changed, how we can be renovated for God, how we can be better in just a little while if we get our mind to be transformed. And may God do that effectively with you. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we're able to spend here today talking about these things. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us clearly about the truth of this passage and how it tells us how we can renovate our mind. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would make these things true in each one of us. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.